Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It. This is a Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Star Wars story? That's so weak. This is our Star Wars podcast for the week, I suppose, is the way to put it. So, basically, if you've lived under a rock, Rogue One, a Star Wars story, came out this week. Basically, the Rebel Alliance makes a risky move to steal the plans for the Death Star, setting up the epic saga to follow. I feel like there should be more of a synopsis, but it's literally one sentence on IMDb.
I mean, basically, it's one of those things where anyone that knows anything about Star Wars, which are regular fans, know that number four, or the first one, or A New Hope, whichever you want to call it, the original Star Wars, basically starts with the plot with the Death Star plans, basically. So this is the story of how they, the Rebel Alliance came to get the plans.
Right.
Long story short.
Directed by Gareth Edwards, written by Chris Weitz, Tony Gilroy, a whole bunch of people. Starring Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Alan Tudyk, etc., etc. What's his face?
Oh, love him. Love him.
Come on. The guy.
Whitaker?
Yes.
Forrest Whitaker?
I don't know why, but like years and years ago, I hated him.
Really?
I didn't know why. I just did. And then when I was watching The Shield and he came on that show and I was like,
oh,
this dude fucking rules.
Yeah, no, he's a...
You know what I think it was is I never knew anything about him until I saw the trailer for that stupid Ghost Dog movie.
Oh.
And I was like, that's retarded. No, thank you.
I've always been a hit or miss fan with him. Like I liked him. What movie was in him way back in the day? Phenomenon or something? I don't know. Anyways, point is, I got nothing against him.
Yeah, I think I just get excited when he's in a movie because I actually really think he's awesome at this point. But
so we legitimately didn't even we just got done seeing the movie. We legitimately didn't even. I don't even know if you liked it. Talk to me. So did we like it?
Well, I know you saw it twice now.
This is my second time.
Nerd.
Yeah.
This was my first viewing, and I have to say, like, when I first saw the trailers, I was like, this movie is like, and don't get me wrong, I thought that The Force Awakens was fucking awesome. I'm like, this movie is going to blow it out of the water. I was let down.
Think so?
I was let down.
Like I said to you before we went to see it, the first half of this movie is slow.
Well, I mean, that's not unheard of in a Star Wars movie.
Right. It's a setup. I mean, the first half of A New Hope is fairly slow. After she drops the pod with the droids, nothing happens for a half hour,
right?
You know what I mean? So,
but that's still some of the most quoted lines of that movie come from that first half hour. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The robot in this movie, the K2SO.
Yeah, and that's played by Alan Tudyk, who actually also played the robot in iRobot, Sonny.
Oh. I haven't seen that.
Fun fact.
Forever.
Whatever.
Fun fact, could have been that he was a pilot in Serenity.
That actually is also another fun fact.
You know, hey.
Which actually, I think the guy's a great actor. He's in a couple other things. I can't really name him off the top of my head, but
I could if I clicked, but we want
to
keep this.
Yeah, I do. I do enjoy his acting and the. I hate to use the term comic relief, but
yeah.
Everything funny in this movie basically comes from that robot's comments, which are spot on and timed perfectly most of the time. So.
Yeah, no, he's really good. Here's the thing that I think is funny. I understand the originals were made in like the 70s. And now you're coming on and they're making them in 2016, 2015, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like this movie, especially because this movie actually predates A New Hope, I feel like the robots look better and look like they're constructed better in this than they do in what's about to be the future. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, he was, but he's not very, dare I say, humanoid.
No.
But neither was C-3PO, so I mean, I guess you're in the same.
But I'm just saying, like, well, I mean, I understand C-3PO is an older model of a robot, but he kind of shuffles around, like.
Yeah, this guy kind of moves pretty fluid.
Yeah.
Like a modern day robot.
Like
would,
a Chappie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll allow it.
Which is kind of. I like that movie.
I do like it.
But okay, so here is. It's not that the movie was boring at all. It's not anything like that, so let's get that out of the way right now. But I feel at this point. Dude, I've had enough of this fucking Death Star.
Oh, not me.
I've had enough of these stories about this time period, I guess is what I'm saying. I mean, you hear from all the nerds like yourself who have read a million of the books. You read about how awesome Boba Fett is. I think he sucks because he was in the movie for 4 seconds.
All right.
And I'm just saying, same thing with Chewbacca. Everyone's like, he's such a badass.
I feel like these fighting words coming.
And he hasn't done shit. And then you talk to these people.
Yeah, but
like,
he doesn't
well,
in the written word,
in the
I guess.
Books, these guys are awesome. Well, where's their movies?
The books aren't necessarily PG or PG-13.
Who gives a...
I'm just saying,
you can't keep revolving all of these movies around Darth Vader, the Death Star, and then when it comes to The Force Awakens, now you're revolving it around a Death Star 2.0. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Well, I obviously thought that, I think we discussed it, I thought that the Starkiller base in Force Awakens was ridiculous and purely like J.J. Abrams. Like, he always just makes stuff bigger.
Right.
And it's the same. It's just bigger than it used to be. But anyways, let's not talk about that movie. Let's talk about the fact that...
Here's the thing. That movie was basically A New Hope 2.0.
Well, yeah, no doubt about it.
Almost the exact same plot. But it felt like a Star Wars movie. This one, I mean, it had the ships. It had the some of the lingo. I don't know. It just didn't feel as... Maybe I had it up here before we went in, but...
I also am in the same boat, semi in the same boat. I pretty much went into this thing and it was going to be the greatest movie that ever came onto the film and screen.
Right.
It probably wasn't that, but I actually like it as much or better than The Force Awakens, even still. And there's a couple reasons why. One, I do love the story, and I do love the characters, and I do love that time period almost more than I love the time period of the current Force Awakens, because I don't like how they changed the canon from, or not changed the canon, but used that and made all the extended universe non-canon. But I've come to, I accept it. That's fine. But I do like, I do like the story, and I think it was done pretty good. And they kind of gave you like the darker, grittier side of the rebellion. Like,
right. Yeah.
You know, kind of like it isn't all happy campy.
Right.
You know, like, hey, we're trying to get shit done here.
You got to make an omelet? Gonna break some eggs,
and then yeah,
or shoot your guy in the back. You know, either
sometimes
way.
You got to do that too.
Can I tell you what else? I ugh.
And who was the? It's Diego Luna is like the main intelligence officer for the rebellion. So, and he's basically the guy that just does whatever he's got to do to get it done. And I thought he did a pretty good job.
No, absolutely.
Because he makes you not like him in the beginning, which is exactly right. What his job is.
You know. Okay, before I keep ragging on stuff I didn't like,
Let
me talk about something I did like. Chirrut, Donnie Yen, the blind guy.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. That guy ruled.
Yeah.
Almost probably more so than the robot.
Him and his partner. What's his partner's name?
His partner's name was...
Wayne John?
Yes. Baze.
He plays Baze. Yeah, they're the two Kuiper Crystal Guardians or whatever from the planet Jedha, and they kind of... get thrown into the mix with Jin and Cassian.
Well, because he senses the,
right.
The crystal around her neck.
Yeah, and he can... I think I read or saw or whatever that he's very in tune with the Force and can sense it, but does not have, let's just say, Jedi-like Force powers. But he does sense it. I think that was like basically his character's MO that I read somewhere going into it, that he wasn't, but he can sense it and feel the Force. Kind of like almost, why can't I think of her name? From The Force Awakens, the little one that likes Chewbacca when they go visit her in the temple and she's 1,000 years old.
Oh, yeah.
With glasses.
Yeah.
Maz?
Yeah.
Maz? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Like, she could sense the Force and knows how the Force works, although can't
tap into it.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Tap into it's a good
sensitive good to it, but
right.
She just doesn't have the training.
Which I thought, lazy. Like, and I agree, he was awesome. He was. And for those of you that don't know, and without really spoiling it, this movie doesn't necessarily have the happiest of endings. If you've seen A New Hope or any of the other Star Wars movies, you'll know that most of the people in this movie aren't in those movies.
Well,
so I don't know if that's a spoiler alert
because
worthy statement, but
they made their big run for, you know, to execute the plan, and after they did, they're like, all right, it's vacation time.
Right. Yeah. They took
let's go to this place I've heard of called off. America.
Yeah.
And
Mon Mothma, I love that. The girl, she's not in this movie very extensively, but the girl that they picked to play her was, I almost wish they did, because the Rebel Alliance leader, the woman that was sort of heading up the Alliance Council.
Oh, okay.
She's in the original Star Wars A New Hope.
Okay.
And she's the, basically, she's the rebel leader until the end when Leia becomes.
Now, is it the same person?
No, it's not the same person, but the person that they chose was amazing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I thought she did a great job as well. I mean, most of the acting in this movie was pretty good.
Oh, no, I wouldn't doubt that for a second. I really did like it. But, okay, now back to what I didn't like. I feel like in the first three, 4, 5, 6, whatever, anytime an AT-AT showed up, it was like a monumental task to take these things down. Mm-hmm. But in this movie, they're like fucking pew, pew, pew. Like,
well, I don't know if they were pew-pewing.
Well, and I just remember, and because you even have to do it in a stupid video game.
Yeah.
You have to take them out by wrapping around the legs, and it doesn't kill them. It just basically knocks them down.
And this one, they sort of...
And this one, they're blowing them up.
Yeah, they sort of blow them up a little bit. Although...
And this is the same time period of A New Hope.
It is, but you have to admit, the rocket launcher scene and then the X-Wing coming in was kind of awesome.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't awesome.
It was crazy awesome.
I just feel like it was too easy to take them down.
It was a smidge.
Now,
but
one of them seemed like it was like not completed because it had the open sides and it just kind of split apart. Mm-hmm. That I get. But the other one, they hit it with the rocket and he was like, nah, son. And then they hit him with another one.
It's actually the perfect
and he's
kind of
like, nah, son. And then it's like, boom. He
was too, man. And like even all the rebels that just shot off the rocket, they're like, oh, shit. Guy's got his turrets on me.
I just feel like it was a little easy.
Yeah. I mean, it was and it wasn't, and I agree and disagree, I guess, at the same time. I thought
and,
it was,
God, I really hate that I'm complaining so much. But when the two
this
Star Destroyers...
Is going to be like our Final Fantasy podcast where we talk about how much we hate it, and then at the end we all give it a 9?
Right. Well, here's the thing. They're in space. There's a space battle going on above this planet.
Mm-hmm.
The two Star Destroyers collide, and then one falls to the planet. Like,
right.
There's no gravity up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was generally pushed downward. It was pushed outward, but once the ship was disabled, it got pulled into the planet.
Now, let's without getting too astrophysicists on it.
I'll call Neil right
would
now.
Would a object of that size be affected by gravity? I mean, obviously, if a little person was floating out there, he'd probably float for a long time, but eventually you'd get drawn down. Would an object with that mass be pulled? I don't know. I mean, I'm just, again, I mean, I took physics.
And it all depends.
I took physics 101, so
and
I don't
it all
really,
depends. How strong is the gravitational force going to be with
the field around?
The force field around.
But then also, you did have that, there was that Carillion Hammerhead Corvette that actually pushed the one into the other.
Sideways,
yeah, but also above it, so it hit the top of it. Could some momentum have start pushing it?
I thought about that,
because that was sort of their point, was it took them a lot to get that thing moving, but then once it was moving, it swung into that
thing,
which is probably right, which is probably close to physically accurate.
Okay, let's go this way.
Uh-oh.
You have the X-Wings flying full speed into the shield,
right?
Explode on impact,
and then slide on it.
Yeah. So now you have a Star Destroyer, not engines, not moving at all, just being pushed into the shield, and it just goes right.
I think it was more that it hit the shield gate than hit the actual shield,
and that baffled me too. Why were they when they were trying to take the shield down?
Just blow up the shield gate.
Yeah. Why not blow up the mechanical part?
There was a couple of things in that, and when your infamous Star Destroyer was going down. They actually, I caught it on today's second viewing for me, that Hammerhead was still in the same position. Like they un-CGI removed it. You know what I mean? So if you look, the diamond shape of the, Star Destroyer is going down, but in the little corner, that little front of the ship, there was still the little Corvette was there with no engines going. It was just like, they forgot to erase it on Photoshop,
or maybe
or
it was pushing,
or maybe it was still. But I mean, the engines weren't going because I sort of wanted to notice that. Yeah. Like, were they giving up everything to shoot it in? But it was the engines weren't running. So unless they, maybe they were. If you get a chance to see it again, you'll remember that.
Oh, I'm sure
that
I will.
Part. But that part is, I noticed it today, and I was gonna elbow you, but I really love the second half of this movie. I felt is The second half of this movie, I think, is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. The first half being slow, although I enjoyed the story immensely, was still, like, there were kids in there, and you can tell, like, it's hard to keep those kids going for the first hour of this movie. Because there's nothing, I mean, there's things going on, but it's more, you gotta pay attention, there's a little bit of politics going on.
These kids really don't know any of these characters.
You can't tell me that these kids love A New Hope. You can't tell me that.
Even if they did, all these kids want to see is Darth Vader. And he was in a movie for
Let me tell you this. All I wanted to see was Darth Vader, too. And he was in the movie for maybe 6 minutes total. But his 2.5 to 3 minutes towards the end of this movie was one of the coolest things I might have ever seen in my entire life. Just saying. For me, personally.
Well, he was when he was talking to What's His Nuts, and he was like, oh, so I get to keep my job? And he's like...
Don't choke on your aspirations.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. Like, I could have used more. I mean, like I told you when we were walking out of there, I would have loved a solo Vader film based off of, like, his old, like, extended universe books that talk about Vader and the things he do and amassing his fortune of wealth.
17 books into the comic book.
But, yeah, there's that, too.
And that book picks up after A New Hope, where he's going after the people who just destroyed his Death Star.
Yeah.
And it you know, yeah. That comic is ridiculously good, and that would be an awesome movie.
Yeah. I think...
just saying.
I think at the rate they're going, though, I mean, they're planning on, like, pretty much churning these things out, so I think we'll get some stuff. Do you want to know the other flaw I found? So, we get a cameo by C-3PO and R2-D2?
Correct.
They're on the ground asking why everybody's going to Scarith. But... they're supposed to be on that Corvette that jettisons from the flagship and takes Leia away. Because that very instance is when they get dropped, right after that.
Maybe they were on there.
How would they be? They were on the Yavin 4.
They came after. Scotty beamed them up.
They were on Yavin 4, and they already said that the Admiral, whose flagship was jettisoning the Vet, was already there. Was already in hyperspace on his way there. Anyways... just another silly little thing. They could have just showed C-3PO and What's-His-Nuts up in the thing talking about why are we going to Scarith, not why are they. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, again, most regular people just enjoy the cameo, I guess. What happened? What's
going on over? Okay, well, I had mentioned before we started the podcast that Vader's helmet just looks a little different to me.
Is it bulbousy?
It just, it's, and I'm reading an article here where, you know, the headline says the same thing, but this is pre-movie and people are making comments or whatever. And it's kind of funny because the one guy was like, you know, there's nothing new. It's just he's slightly different from movie to movie. He really pay attention. And the one guy's like, if I hit the little red button on his chest, does that turn him off? And the guy's like, no, it switches him from FM to AM. Thought that was kind of funny.
I don't know. I thought the final scene with Vader is almost worth sitting through the whole movie for.
Oh, he was
like that part.
And here's the thing, and again, I know it's nitpicky, and you can't use the same actor for Vader than you did 40 years ago, but I feel like his movements were noticeably different from the first movie, which kind of threw me off. I think it's awesome that they still use James Earl Jones as the voice,
right?
Because that didn't skip a beat, I had to emphasize. But his movements was like, I don't know. Maybe I had to see it again, because he wasn't in it that long, but like he was just... choking his shit, everybody throwing him around, doing what Vader does, and it was awesome.
I thought that part, like, movements, no movements, whatever. I thought they kept it perfect for how he used to operate, where he, you know, when you watch, like, The Phantom Menace or those other ones, and, you know, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn and Yoda, they're all doing backflips and shit and running off the side of walls. And then you go back to, like, A New Hope or even Empire or whatever, and Vader's not really doing a whole ton of shit. Not awesome fighting skills, I guess, because it was the time period. Yeah. So they sort of had him in that same, like, I don't need to do this shit. Like, I'm the guy. Like, it's not really much of a spoiler, but he comes into contact with a couple of individuals down a narrow corridor, and Vader wins. I mean, let's just leave it there. And it's in awesome fashion. I mean, brutal. Way more, he's way more deadly, or as deadly as you expect he should be, I guess,
right,
is the point. Where he pins that guy to the ceiling and just like, yeah, here's that. Like, just gives him a back swipe with the saber.
The best part
and splits
is,
him in half. I mean, it's brutal.
They're trying to get through the door, and it's jammed, and you just hear,
God.
And then they're kind of all staring, and it's just pitch black, and then the saber comes on, and you just, this red glow.
I'm telling you, like,
it's gangstery shit.
I'm not even kidding, and I know I sound like a little baby, but when I saw it last night, I'm not even kidding. You know the movie's wrapping up, because it's getting towards the end. Things are happening, popping off, and this hallway scene comes up, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, before it's even, like, they kind of show Vader, like, prepare a boarding party, and like, blah, blah, blah. And then these guys are like, we got to get this. And, like, the door gets locked, and they're jammed in, and everyone's, like, screaming for their lives. And then, like, you hear a big, loud bang, and I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm getting psyched up right now thinking about it. Like, I want to, like, slap my girlfriend in the face. Like, I'm, like, excited. Like, I'm going nuts. Just thinking about how awesome it was. We're sitting there, and she was even, like, making fun of, like, you know, like, I'm a, like, a baby. Like, I'm, like,
did,
a child.
You did
at
pee
Christmas.
In your pants.
If I hadn't gone right before the movie, guaranteed, at least 2-3 drips. I mean, for sure. I mean, it's, I'm like, legit breathing heavy over.
Can I bring you back down, then?
I guess.
Okay, here's another part that would kind of, like, really? When they were like, okay, we can't get this out of here. You need to communicate it. You need to hook up to the communications. He's like, I fucking can't. And they're like, you got to.
Yeah.
So he runs the cable out there.
Figure
he plugs
out,
it
son.
In. He's running it back to the ship. Bang. It ain't long enough.
And then it is later.
And then it's just long enough. Out of nowhere, nothing else happened.
I mean,
the cord that was like literally 75 feet too
right.
short.
For those of you listening, picture running with an extension cord. Full speed. That's strapped to your back or whatever and just running out of cord not knowing it's coming. Just like Scott says, like, boing. And he just, like, literally falls on the ground. Shit pops off. People are shooting at each other. And then he gets an opening later and he just runs over there and plugs the thing into the ship. And then, having said all of this.
Spoilers.
Well, once all of this takes place, they basically, they do all the stuff. They hook up all the things they need to, like, send the transmission. Everything's dope. Then they get, like, 3 words out, and it was basically just to tell the Rebel Alliance, hey, FYI, you're going to get a transmission. You need to blow the gate up, even though the whole time they're trying to blow the gate up to get in to save everybody anyways.
And the whole time you couldn't get communications through the gate.
Right. But they could get a. They could.
They have to go through.
They
their
could
tower,
get a
yeah.
comm, but they couldn't send a signal to download or whatever
because
of the
they
file.
Blocked the Rebels' signal, so they had to go in through the Imperial
right.
signals.
So it was
I'm
kind
stupid.
Of stupid. No, not really. I mean, because it was
Stop.
There was a lot of last minute, you know, let's just say audibles that they had to make. But they knew they were going to have to because they didn't really go in there with a plan, and that was sort of Jin's whole thing was, hey. We're going to give this a shot, and we're going to try this, we're going to try that, and we're going to keep, what'd you say, chances.
There was just...
We're going to take this chance and this chance till we win or we're out of chances. And I actually, like, there was... I mean, I appreciate it.
And now the more that we're talking about it, it just seems like there was a lot of, there's no way that's going to happen. And then 5 minutes later, holy shit, that happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, every fucking time. And not going to give too much away, I hope, but there's way too much of the whole, like, hero's death.
Oh, I didn't think so.
Just
no, I didn't think so.
I did. There was like 6 people in the movie that did it. It's just like,
actually like 600 people in the movie. But
well, no, I mean it's one thing to go out fighting, but then there's too many people that just do the whole like.
Yeah, kind of, but not
and I'm
really.
Not trying
I mean,
to say
it was
whatever.
But they timed everything. I thought
hey.
Fairly well. It wasn't like
sorry.
Wasn't like they just stopped shooting. You know what I mean? It was just sort of a. I don't know. I didn't feel that way. I thought it was done okay.
So, whatever. I thought there were too much. You thought it was good. Maybe people...
What?
We'll let these other people have their own opinions, but what are you nerding out on?
I was... remember how I said the one guy was very much the guy I thought he was? The red and gold leaders, they were the guys. They did... Either CGI them or did something, but it was those two individuals. They are listed with cast credits, so it was them.
They
some,
probably just threw
somehow.
Some makeup on.
Well, no, the one guy's dead. So
they probably just,
there's that. He died in February of last year.
They cut him in from the old movies.
That, it's very possible that that could have actually happened too, like Red Leader checking in or whatever the case may be. But yeah, that was it was actually them. I thought they were just really familiar. I mean, obviously I've seen A New Hope
100 times.
Nah, 3 times probably, 3 or 4. But yeah, it was them. So that was pretty cool.
So, is there anything else we want to throw into the fire here?
No, not really. I mean, other than the fact that I did think the movie was awesome, I did have it up on a pedestal. It probably didn't actually hit the pedestal, but it was still, I mean, it's not one I'm not going to buy, and it's definitely 100 times better than the first, the episodes 1, 2, and 3, which I also don't hate. I just hate large characters. Chunks of each one. You know, cut out Anakin and Jar Jar from The Phantom Menace, and that movie's amazing.
Did you ever read the article about how Jar Jar Binks is this, like,
Sith,
underground
Sith
Jedi?
I heard he was actually, that he's the Emperor's Sith agent. Like, that everything he does can't be that coincidentally great, so he must be using the dark side of the Force, something like that.
But he's doing it to kill the Imperials. He's always accidentally killing somebody.
Right, but they were all robots or whatever.
I don't know. I read it the other way around, where he's a secret Jedi.
Yeah, I read that he's, like, secretly, he's actually the Emperor's actual apprentice.
Which is the one with the stupid pod race?
The first one.
You lose that pod race, that movie's 100 times better.
Oh, you get, yeah, you cut the pod race out.
Or
and
shorten it. It's fucking like a half
cut
hour
cut the pod
long.
Racing, cut Jar Jar, and cut Anakin's lines, because the little kid shit was old quick. And that movie's super amazing.
He's
Ray
like
Park,
the,
you got, I mean, Liam Neeson, everyone's awesome.
From fucking Full House. How rude.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, dude. Let's not bring that up. Right, but yeah, right. Like I said, that movie, I honestly, if you can skip past that part, it's actually not a bad movie.
I'm gonna download it to my computer and cut it the way it should be cut. And it's going to be amazing.
It would be.
And it's only going to be 45 minutes long, but it's going to rule.
I mean, the third one was actually pretty good.
I didn't hate any of them.
No, I didn't hate them. I just, those were definitely letdowns for the time period.
Yeah.
But whatever. So, moving on. I am, I'm definitely a solid 9 on this movie. Just like The Force Awakens. I think I gave that a 9, and I'm a 9 with this. Just based on the storyline, characters, and all that good stuff. And legitimately, this movie ends 4 hours before A New Hope. Probably even less time than that.
That it does.
Which I thought was dope.
Well, here's, like I said before, there's so much more you can do with these characters. Everyone knows what was going to happen in this movie because we've all seen what comes next.
Well, everyone that knows the movies, because, like I said, there was people in the film that didn't know how this was going to turn out.
You know what I mean.
They were sort
I mean,
of
we all know that.
There's a lot of people depressed at the end of this one.
We all know that they're not going to not get the plans. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but we also all didn't know who was going to be in the next one. Like Gold 5 or Gold Leader was going to make it. Like, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, he'll be making that Death Star run soon.
Yeah. It's just
but the Calamarian admiral, pretty sure he wasn't going to make it. Otherwise they'd have put Ackbar in there. It's a trap.
I'm just saying,
as soon as they showed him, I'm like, oh,
I'm just saying,
flagship's going down.
I had it up here. It totally didn't hit my expectations. The trailers made it look amazing. I've only seen it once. Maybe if I see it again, it'll come up, but I'm at like a 7.5.
That's good.
I was at a 7, but the more we talked about Vader, I was like, oh, yeah.
I mean, talk about your limited screen time and change in the way you feel about something. I mean, that this character for this movie, we're not joking. You get about 6 minutes, and it makes a difference. I mean, and again,
well, at this point, he still feels like the Death Star's a joke. I'm the fucking power,
and that's how he. That's and he's right. I mean, that's what it was when he was when in
that's what it is in the comic
in the original New Hope when they're sitting around that conference table with Tarkin and all the guys, and they're like, meow, meow, "We got the ultimate." And he's like, "You ain't got dick."
Right.
I'll choke you out right now, son.
Right.
You know what I mean? You want to feel some of this.
Fuck that Death Star.
It was. Yeah, what's the line? He makes a line about the only thing that thing creates is problems or something like that. Like, just kind of like, man, you made a big ball. Like, I give a shit.
Right.
I'm rolling around. I got my own planet, son. You know what I mean? Guy was badass. God damn. Could have used a whole movie with him. Just based on his two... two major scenes, and I mean, legit
maybe we'll get that
steal.
Now. With the run of this comic, that's how cool would that
be? How cool would that be? Like the after
the next movie is the
Well, there's a lot of and as you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens in between all those movies in the extended universe, regular novels, and obviously comics that are out nowadays.
Yeah,
you know, there's Princess Leia stories. There's all kinds of shit. So I don't see. I mean, they're looking at legit pumping these things out. So
well, not to mention there's a ton of time between the third one and Force Awakens. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's, yeah.
So there's
legitimately 30 years.
Yeah. So let's see some shit that we don't know.
Yeah. The only problem
I
is
I think that's what I liked so much about A New Hope.
I know.
I know. The Force Awakens. The reason I liked it so much is, I mean, yeah, it wound up being A New Hope 2.0. But it was new characters, completely new story, 30 years later.
I know it was A New Hope.
Didn't know it was going to happen. 2.0,
but I still think it kind of wasn't.
And they opened it up with Kylo Ren stopping those blasters right in mid-fucking...
I mean...
My wiener just moved.
It's pretty awesome, that.
It was...
There was some good stuff, and I was the anti-Kylo Ren in the beginning, and then the more we talked about it, and obviously at this point in time, I've legitimately probably seen The Force Awakens... Over 10 times, probably in the neighborhood of 20 times, I've probably seen that movie.
Nerd.
And I actually like him a lot more now. Like, he makes... Your brother actually explained it to us best when we... Because I didn't like him until we had that podcast, and your brother sort of, like gave his side of how he saw him. I was like, shit, this guy's just misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? Like I get it. So...
I was just waiting for him to be curled up in like a bunk somewhere listening to like fucking...
Yeah, but when you watch that movie again and you see him like have his... Let's not say his tantrums or whatever, but you... Like after we did that podcast, I was like, man, like, all right. Like, I see what's going on now.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of holes in that besides it being A New Hope 2.0. There was a lot of holes in that movie as well. And I think you're going to get that every time. And the more we do these podcasts and review these movies, the more critical we get. But I try to personally... I try to enjoy them because I'm still a fan first, so like, and I'm always going to be biased to the Star Wars. I'm always going to rate them higher. I mean,
I'm not saying I didn't like Jyn. I liked
Rey. We didn't really talk about
it. I liked Rey better.
I don't know if I did. I don't know if I did. Honestly, I liked Felicity Jones plays Jyn, by the way. I don't even know if we brought that part up.
No, we did not.
But we're going to skip through her synopsis, but basically she's one of the main characters, the hero types, and she's got a reason and a point for being there, but yeah, I thought she did really well. I'm not going to say she did better than Rey.
No, she was good. Like, don't get me wrong, but it was.
But I don't think it's the same. I don't think we're comparing apples.
I guess my thing with her was basically like she didn't give a shit about any of the stuff, and then all like last minute she's like the savior of the day.
Yeah, but what's his name calls her ass out on it right in the show. That was actually awesome. And again, some of that stuff was slow and boring, but. If you pay attention to some of those scenes, I thought they were. I saw it twice, so I'm sort of not that I got a leg up, but I sort of got to sit through the boring part twice, I guess.
I keep calling it
the boring part.
I wouldn't really call it boring because not everything can be fucking pew pew. You know what I mean?
I completely agree, and I like the fact that they sort of gave you the grittier version of the Star Wars universe, which is more the comics and the books. And not the PG Lucas films.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in this one, I mean, people die and you see it. Like, it's not, you know, Vader choking some dude out in the background, you know, or him killing Obi-Wan and a robe falls down. Like, he stabs a guy through the fucking chest.
And door,
and then opens the door. Opens the door and it's still in the dude's chest because the door opened.
Not the dude.
Tell me that wasn't awesome, man. God. And at the end, just him shutting off his lightsaber. Did you shut me off already?
I'm about to because this podcast is way over. We're going to keep rambling.
I'll talk about Vader's 6 minutes for the next 45 minutes.
I got a dinner to go to in 7 hours, and I want to get some GTA in.
So. Yeah, let's do that. So anyways, I'm going to probably be at a 9 on the site. We'll probably list it as an 8.75 or something like that based on our two things. I'm going to pull a little rank.
I don't care what you do. If you're the one reviewing it, go nuts.
Yeah, but I'm not going to. I'll give it our base review for all the listeners, and feel free to vote on it yourselves.
Right. And I forgot to mention earlier, you can find me on Twitter at XSourceNext. You can find Mike at Review and Roast or at MikeMiro7. Not that anyone ever goes to that account.
Yep.
You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ReviewandRoast. And same thing on Instagram, and, you know, we're all over the fucking place. Just search us. You'll find us. And if you haven't seen the movie yet, head on over to ReviewandRoast.com and buy your tickets from us, because you can totally do that.
Well, I mean, you get them from Fandango, but through us. That'd be awesome.
Right. That's they understand how it works.
Get into it.
Yes. Get into it. Get into us. What? Weird.
Bye.
Later.